Log Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Saturday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Men broadcast. Once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who has given me the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. I thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. It doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Men broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call me at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD2MAN@gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Glory be to God. So wherever you listen to me at, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us come together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your word. We thank you once again for this day that you have blessed us to come together. Dear God, we humble ourselves before you to acknowledge that without you, we can know nothing. So, Lord God, we ask for the presence of your spirit to release into our hearts the understanding and interpretation of your word. Father, in the name of Jesus, illuminate our minds this day by the power of your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord God, we will be careful to give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Thank God for the blessed word today. I want to open up reading a verse or a scripture from the book that is called The Word of the Lord, which is supported by the Bible, in Isaiah chapter 28, which says the word of the Lord is line upon line, precept upon precept, supporting also the sending of the Lord's angelic messenger, Matthew 17, Malachi chapter 3 and 4, Acts chapter 3, okay? And I want to read a verse from this message that the Lord sent out June the 8th, 19. And I want to read something to you that he said in this message, which goes for the lesson today. And it is called the 55th message, meaning it was the 55th time that Christ has sent his angel with a message. And I want to read one of these verses of what he said in this verse here. And I pray that you will pay close attention to what he is saying. He says, I am the messenger of the Lord. And this is the angel speaking unto the people of God, declaring that he is the messenger of the Lord. I am the messenger to bring the warning, and my name is John. This is the resurrected John the Baptist. The Lord said the same. God had been dealing with me by doing a revise concerning the Lord sending his angel messenger. But this is the resurrected John the Baptist. And he goes on to say, I come. Now, this is where I really want you to really listen in real closely on this. He says, I come that full repentance and remission of sins might be taught, and I bring the word of the Lord. Now, I want you to understand that the angel of the Lord, and he gets this authority from Jesus Christ, he said, I come that full repentance be taught. So in order for him to say that, that means that full repentance was and is not being fully taught. Okay. Also, you can think of it like this, since he made the remark, full repentance. If something is full, the opposite of it can be empty, right? Or it could be just half. In other words, if you had a full tank of gas, but then another time your gas hands on half a tank, it's not a full tank. You get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. So he said, I come that full repentance might be taught. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. Now, glory be to God. I want to give you a definition of the word repentance or repent, okay? From Merriam-Webster Dictionary, repentance, okay, means the action or process of repenting, especially for misdeeds or moral shortcomings. Now, when you go to the word repent, which is the root word in the word repentance, the definition means, number one, to turn from sin and dedicate oneself to the amendment of one's life. Number two, it means to feel regret or contrition. It also means to change one's mind, okay? To change one's mind, okay? Hallelujah. The first definition of the word repent that I gave you when it said to turn from sin to the amendment of one's life. The title of this message tonight is Full Repentance, the Turning Away Seemed to Be the Biggest Problem. I hope that you hear what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Because people, and when I say people, I have to say many Christians and sinners alike, when it comes to that first definition of turning from sin, that's when you get what I call the drop face. Okay? Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes, you know, it's a chore to get people to even confess. Okay? It's a chore to do that. Or even to express any regret about what they did. But it seemed to me that you come off a little bit more easier talking to them about, now confession is acknowledging that you did wrong. Repentance involves expressing remorse, like when you say, I'm sorry. And it seems though in many cases, many people, not once again, I'm talking about both Christians and sinners alike, they're more prone to, at times, hear you when you start telling them, say, hey, you need to acknowledge that that was wrong. You need to say you're sorry. And it seems as though that many people are more quicker to hear that until you get to the point where you say, okay, and you got to stop doing that thing. Then, now you finna see the drop face, okay? You finna see the drop face. You understand what I'm saying? And what brought me to this lesson was about a little over 2 hours ago, I was in another town and I was making groceries. And as I was leaving on the way back home, it come to me about this particular person at one time that was talking to me about a sinful stuff that they had done. And so I had communicate with this person, let this person know they got to repent. And their quick response back to me was, yeah, I do it. I do it every day, which I've heard that from different people. I do it every day. And sometimes people tell you that for a message to say, hey, get off my back. Or sometimes they tell you that for a message to say, ain't nothing else you could tell me. I done did that. I'm all right. I'm good. But then when I got communicate to the person about how they have to turn away from that thing which is sin, they said nothing else to me on that. Nothing else to me. Which showed me that when it comes to the turning from the sin part, They didn't want to do it. Okay? Hallelujah. And you're going to see this glory the more and more with people. And some of you have come across that. Okay? Amen. Glory to God. I sense the Holy Ghost. Hapo Shata. And the Lord was dealing with me about that on the way home. He was dealing with me about that. And this transaction I was having with this person, had with this person. And I'm like, whoa. And he dealt with me about what seemed to be the biggest problem is that people don't want to turn away from doing that thing. And see, sometimes people hide behind the confession. You understand what I'm saying? They'll say, well, yeah, what I did was wrong. And then to push a little bit further, sometimes they'll say, hey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for doing it. But when you talk to them about turning away from that thing, then you get this look. You get what I call the drop face. You get this, you pick up on it that, okay, I told him or her that, but I'm kind of sensing that they ain't got offended. They didn't put up a wall, defense. Don't want to hear that. You understand what I'm saying? Let's look at some scriptures on this concerning the turning away. Because what the Lord want us to do, in fact, let's go to our first scripture. Let's go to Matthew chapter 3. We're going in the Bible here. Matthew chapter 3. And see, the angel of the Lord says he come that full repentance be taught. Okay? Full repentance. You understand what I'm saying? So in order for him to say that, that means full repentance is not being taught. It's not being taught. Now, you got some churches. Some in the ministry ain't teaching repentance at all. Some of them is like a particular brother I had a talk with about that about 18, 19 years ago, who told me that, oh, we ain't got to tell the people to repent. They already know. And I remember I thought to myself that time was, shoot, well, Jesus messed up because he sure was going around telling people to repent when he walked this earth in the flesh. You think those people didn't know they had some sin? In fact, remember with the woman that was caught in adultery, he said, he without sin, let them cast first stone. What they do, drop their stones. So the people knew at the time that they had sinned, was in sin, yeah. But Jesus still told them the message, repent. Okay? So you got some churches, especially in the ministry, who ain't teaching repentance at all. Okay? Then you have some that's teaching half. Like they would talk to people about, or for example, confession. Now, confession, even though it may be a type of repentance, is really not, in a sense, repentance. Confession means to acknowledge that you sin. When you acknowledge that you sin, it's like a type of repentance, but they're separated, in a sense. I put it that way. Let me word it more that way. Confession is all, it's like connected to repentance, but when you define them separately, confession means to acknowledge, you know, that you did sin. So if you said, what I did was a sin, that's your acknowledging. Or what I did was wrong, that's your acknowledging you did it. Now, when you repent, that's when you come in and say, you know, I'm really sorry for what I did. That's expressing remorse. And when your mind has changed about that which you did, that's in repentance, okay? And so you got some teaching people that, okay, confess, which that's part of the deliverance package, okay? And then you got them teaching them saying, okay, you need to say you're sorry, okay? But it seems as though the role stops there, okay? They're not really stressing to people that how important it is for you to turn away from the thing. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 7 to verse 10. The Bible says, but when he, that's John the Baptist, saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Now, that was Matthew chapter 3, verse 7 through 10. Now, notice he told the Pharisees, bring forth fruit meat worthy, fruit meat for repentance. Okay? The fruit is the axe that is to come forth showing that you have fully repented. You know what I'm saying? Because symbolically, when he talks about trees in these verses, he's talking about people. Because remember, in Psalm chapter 1, what the Lord said, you'll be planted like a tree. That's like a metaphor. So symbolically, one of the things symbolically a tree represents, one of the things now, is people. So when he said bring forth fruit, calling you a tree, the fruit, that which come forth from the tree, spiritually, symbolically, is dealing with your acts. So there has to be an act shown that you have repented. The greatest one is that you have to turn away from the sinful life. Okay? And I have talked to even sinners. And many cases, in some cases, when I talk to them about, say, hey, you need to acknowledge that you've been doing wrong, living wrong, and you need to ask God to forgive you and express yourself. Okay, they're listening to me on that. But when I tell them, say, now you got to turn to Christ and turn away from that life and live according to the word of God, then I get to drop face. I get to drop face. And to be honest with you, some of them come out to be honest and say, you know what, Brother Nate, I'm not ready yet. Oh, yeah. Honestly, they'll say, I'm not ready yet. Well, what got them? The part where I told them that you got to turn away from that sinful life and live according to the word of God. They didn't want to do that. And sad to say, some people that's supposed to be Christians don't want to do that. You get what I'm saying? See, some people in that moment came, quote, to the Lord because they was in sorrow about something. And they needed just, or guilt. And they needed that lifting. And once it appeared that lifted to them, you know, hey, this living for Jesus, I ain't for that. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. And see, in verse 9 of this third chapter I read, in this ninth verse, glory be to God, notice that John said, and think not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Okay? So in this verse 9, I want you to hear this, what John was also showing. John was showing that a biological connection, or get this, or even a spiritual connection, doesn't exempt you from turning from sin. You hear what I'm saying? Just because your mama or your daddy, your grandmama or granddaddy was saved and born again, okay, that doesn't exempt you from having to turn away from that sin to make the repentance full. See, you got people that think like that today, okay? You got some people that think, okay, my mom and my daddy saved, okay, I'm all right, you know. You hear some of them say, well, you know, I was raised up in a Christian home. So they think they okay because mom and daddy was a Christian. So they think that they can just live the wild life and sin, and I'm going to bust heaven wide open when I die. Why? Because mom and daddy were saved. So I ain't got to turn away from this sinful life. You get what I'm saying? Then you got some people that think that they don't have to turn away from the sin because of what church they belong to. Oh, I belong to such a church, my pastor, because, you know, now in these days and time, people are big on the mega churches. And if you got a pastor that's well-known and all over TV, hey, what I need to turn away from the sin for? My pastor is so-and-so on TV every day. Well-known, big time. Now, see, some of y'all think people don't think this way, but you keep on living. You'll find out, okay? You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't exempt you, people. Hallelujah. It doesn't exempt you even if you came to service every day or came to service every Sunday. That don't exempt you from having to turn away from the sin. Okay? Amen. And see, this is what God was dealing with me about and giving to me, giving me concerning this message today. And so you got people that thinks that. Amen. They think because of their biological connection or even, quote, in a sense, their spiritual connection, that they are exempt from having to turn away from the sin. Listen, what good does it do a man if he's stealing, constantly stealing, and each time he's stealing, he says, oh, I'm sorry, what I did was wrong, but he don't stop stealing. He don't turn away from stealing. Well, what's going to eventually happen? Well, what's eventually happened, he's going to end up in jail, or he may, in many cases, what's going on today, somebody catch you breaking in their house, and even if you're running, will shoot you on the spot. Which brings me to my next thing, verse 10. Now, notice that in verse 10, John says, and now the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree will bring him not forth what? Good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. So verse 10 shows that if there is no turning away, now here it is. If there is no turning away from that sin, judgment is going to take place. Amen. Judgment is going to take place. And another thing that God dealt with me about, and I need you to hear this closely, by his spirit, some of his own people is going to be offended at him because what's going to happen to their loved ones. I'm going to say it again. I ain't got no problem saying it. Some of his own people, to my born-again believers, they are going to become offended at God because of what's going to happen to some of their loved ones. Because they're going to be up there saying, Lord, they told you they were sorry. Lord, they asked you to forgive them. But see, if they didn't stop or turn away from the sin, notice what John said. He that bring forth not good fruit. The fruit is the axe that comes from you. He said, what? It's going to be hewn down, cast into the fire. That represents judgment. That represents not only the ultimate judgment, but it represents judgment, period. Judgment is going to still hit, people. I don't care if your son or your daughter said, well, yeah, what I did was wrong, and I'm sorry. But if they don't turn away from that thing, guess what? Judgment still comes. Just like I told you about the man that's stealing. Even if he keeps saying, I'm sorry, I did what's wrong, I'm sorry, but he never turned away from it. He don't stop. He keeps on stealing. He's going to eventually get caught or end up in jail or end up being shot. Now, I'm just letting you know the truth, people. This is something that the Holy Ghost was dealing with me, like I said, as about 2 hours ago on my way back home. Glory to God. So you can pray for little Susie or little Johnny. That's what you're supposed to do in love them. But I'm here to tell you, if you just sit up there and tell them partial repentance, guess what? You're going to be held accountable too. You better tell them the full thing, people. You better tell little Susie, little Johnny, say, hey, listen, you got to confess to God and acknowledge that you did what's wrong. You got to repent and say you're sorry. But you also got to quit doing that thing, baby. If you don't quit doing that thing, judgment's still going to hit. You better tell them the truth. Some of us is not telling our loved ones the full truth. We're telling them partial. And this is why they think they only can do, only thing they have to do is lip service and everything be okay. Notice that John said in verse 9, and say not to yourselves that we got Abraham for our father. In other words, you just saying, you just depend on just saying something. Saying is part of it, people, but it's not the full thing. You got to put some action and turn away from the thing. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, we might well be real about it, people. I mean, listen, lying about it ain't going to benefit nobody. So we might well be real about it. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 26. And like I said, this is a message that, glory to God, as of 2 hours ago, that God had started dealing with me about on the way home. And he started dealing with me a little bit later about how some of his own people are going to be offended at him because of their love. Not and also going to be because what's going to happen with them too, because some of them ain't going to want to turn away from the thing, but especially because of their loved ones. Because you're going to see in the last days where their loved ones rank between them and God. Amen. That's why Jesus said, he that hateth not father, mother, brother, sister, you know, the word hateth means love less, but it's a misleading word in the Bible because the original Greek word for that means to love less. In other words, you're supposed to more love Jesus more. But see, it's going to be revealed where Jesus stand on the scale between them and their loved ones. Amen. Now, Acts chapter 26, verse 20 to 21. Now, this is what Apostle Paul was speaking, and this is what he said. He said, okay, I'm going to start at verse 19. He said, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet. Works meet for repentance. For these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Now he said, do works meet for repentance. Same thing, okay? The works being your acts. You got to show that you have repented, okay? Notice verse 21. Paul said, for these causes, the Jews caught me, okay? They seized me in the temple and went about to kill me. Did you hear that? Okay. When Paul was proclaiming this, he let you know it was of these causes why the Jews wanted to kill him. Because he was telling them to repent and turn to God and to do works meet for repentance. That they have to show something. There has to be acts that show that they repented. And guess what? They wanted to kill him. That means hear this spiritually, just figuratively what it means. Some of God's own covenant people, the spiritual Jew. If you're born again, you're the spiritual Jew. Hallelujah. In the spirit is going to fight against this message. And they're going to even operate in a murderous spirit toward them that will proclaim it like Paul. Do you hear what I'm saying? Amen. Now, like I said, you ain't got to hear what I'm saying. You ain't got to believe it. Wait and see. See, some of you listening, and you might say, okay, that's just Brother Nate. He's rambling. You know, he do his thing. He rambling. Okay, well, I tell you what. Sometimes God will have you to give a message before time, and people will see it later on. So I'm not worried about it, and I'm not trying to be arrogant when I say this. I'm not worried about it. If you don't believe what I'm saying, so be it. That's between you and God. I'm going to deliver the message he gave me to give. That's what I'm going to do. Okay? Amen. See, it's going to be a lot of stuff that's going to be revealed in these last days, people, especially by people in the church. Okay? Amen. A lot of things going to be revealed. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, remember, the Jews, at one point, especially from the Old Testament, they are known as God's ancient covenant people. Okay? So Paul said, hey, for these causes, the Jews, they seized me and want to kill me. They didn't want to just shut him up, per se. They wanted to totally get rid of him because what he was preaching this message. The message of repentance is not a popular message, people. See, some of us want to preach the popular message. We want to preach the message that makes everybody pat us on the back and say, oh, such a great job. We would sure like you to come and visit our church. We want to preach that kind of message. We want to preach the message where everybody just smiling in our face and telling us how great we are. See, that was going on with a lot of some of these big-time televangelists. That's why they won't really preach repentance. You understand what I'm saying? Because why? They want to keep smiling faces. They want to keep the seats filled. They want to have 20,000 seats and have all 20,000 seats filled. And they know that if they really preach repentance like they know, some of them know about repentance. They know the more than on the surface about repentance, but they won't tell it. And they won't tell it because of that, what they're afraid of. Amen. And some of them know that some of the people, let's get real with this, that they tell them to is going to want to put some harm on them, some bodily harm, because they don't want to hear that. So that's why they know certain members are getting drunk every Saturday night before they come. And some of them are drunk on the way to service, okay? They still give them sacrament. They don't say nothing. They could come in and try to put all kind of peppermint in their mouth and cologne on them, and you still smell that alcohol smell. That minister ain't going to too much say nothing. You have very few of them that will come to the side. But more and more of these ministers are scared. They scared to say anything. Oh, if I tell him that, he gonna quit coming. And brother Jay, he put a pretty good amount in the plate. So we can't stop the plate thing, you know. We can't stop. We see it too much green. Brother Jay putting too much green up in that plate. And I said something to Brother Jay. The big part of that green gone, because we didn't like to see all that change. Some quarters and dimes dropping in there. We wanted to see some paper. Amen. So that we're not going to tell that. Can't tell the repentance now. Not the fullness. And see, the turning away seems to be the problem, because it is. Amen. Hallelujah. And just like with the confession. And God dealt with me one time about even why people don't get to the confessing part. Remember what it said in 1 John chapter 1? It said that, you know, if we confess our sins, he'll be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Well, see, God dealt with me one time why people won't confess specifically. Like, you know, some people will say, forgive me if I did anything wrong to you. And sometimes, and I do say sometimes, that may have a place. If you're not fully aware, you can sense something ain't right, but you're not fully aware of you did anything. But most of the time, we know certain things that we did that caused the rift. And so instead of confessing specifically, just like if I spit on your shoe and didn't even say nothing to you, and I knew that that made you warm, but I said, instead of me coming to you and saying, hey, forgive me for spitting on your shoe, I just want to keep from, you know, confessing that, I might say, well, forgive me if I did anything wrong to you. And see, God let me know many times why many of his people would do it that way is because they want to do that thing again. Okay? Now, I know some of you won't raise your hand and admit that. Okay? But they want to do that thing again. Okay? Hallelujah. Amen. Well, you can say amen to old me anyhow. I don't know. It's whatever. Whatever you want to say. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so that's what the Lord, glory to God. You know, people, let me tell you something. This thing is very deep and very important. And if you notice that when Jesus really went out preaching, he started telling people what repent. And repentance, it's not a dead message. This is why you know that there are many who are now fully founded on the foundation of Christ. And this is one of the reasons why Jesus is restoring all things. Because in Hebrews chapter 6, it lets you know the foundation principles. And one of them is repentance from dead works. Well, you got people, they don't want to repent. You know, they don't want to turn away from doing that sin. They want to keep on doing that sinful thing, but they want to be rewarded good at the same time, okay? And they think that me saying, yeah, what I did was wrong, or they want to say, well, I'm sorry. But they think that since I said those two things, I ain't got to worry about stop doing this thing. I already told them I'm sorry. So here we are thinking that God is one big dumb person in the sky. That's what we, you know, many of us, that's what we think. That God is dumb, and God ain't dumb, okay? And he knew man, and he knew how man would think. So this is why he put this all in the scriptures, fruit meat for repentance and works meat for repentance. That's why he said all that, okay? There has to be a show up from the acts that you repented. And so he said that every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast from the fire, okay? Hallelujah. Amen. You can't, if you went around lying on somebody, you can't be just saying, oh, I'm sorry for lying on you, and keep lying on them, okay? You know, that ain't going to work, okay? You think of that, you said I'm sorry for lying, like they're supposed to take care of it. Now, let's look at one more scripture. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. I know some of y'all are saying, I had a feeling he was going to go there. Well, I did. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And the word says, if my people, and this is God talking to his people, not only was he talking to the ancient covenant people, literal Israel then, but this also, remember, much of the word of God carries a twofold application to the literal and to the spiritual. So this word also goes to the spiritual covenant people. So he said, if my people, which are called by my name, well, who called by his name today? Christians, ain't it? Amen. It ain't Hindus. It ain't Islamic. It ain't, it's Christians. So he said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Do you see that? Hallelujah. When he said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, the humble comes in when there is confession, expressing of regret, and having that change of mind. But notice he said, and turn from their wicked ways. Did you see that? So there had to be some action. He didn't say we can keep doing our wicked ways, okay, as long as we, quote, humble ourselves. He didn't say that. He said, humble yourself. He said, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I'm telling you, people, you know, believe it or not, see, the thing that is happening now, and it's going to continue to happen, judgment hitting more people. You know, as I say, you got two places of judgment. You got judgment that'll hit while you're here on earth and judgment in the hereafter, okay? And see, you got people who going around, and judgment has hit them in certain areas because of the stuff they wouldn't stop doing, and they're mad with God. You hear people say, well, I said I was sorry, but you didn't stop fooling with the thing, okay? Amen. Two people, if you know that, for example, a man and woman got together, and let's say this man is a brother in Christ, and he's sleeping with this woman, he's fornicating with her, and now he got, you know, He done it, and he's like maybe talking to you, another Christian, saying, yeah, I've been fornicating, you know. And you tell him, say, hey, you need to repent. You need to confess, oh, Lord. And let's say he go before the Lord and say, Lord, what I did was sin. That's confession. I did wrong. And when he said, I'm sorry for it, I ask that you forgive me, now he's in repentance. But here's the question. What if he didn't stop sleeping with her? And then he ends up, let's say, with a sexually transmitted disease. Does he still, quote, have a right to get mad with God because he said, I confessed it, I ask that you forgive me? But see, he didn't turn away from the thing. You understand what I'm saying? See, glory. You have to turn away from it. That's what we got to do. Hey, that word goes to all of us. We all at some point have been guilty concerning this, okay? When you confess something, you acknowledge something, but you didn't turn away from it, and then you suffer from that thing. And here's the thing, we got to be honest. You know, some of us got mad at God. We got mad at God. So, God, how could you? I told you I'm sorry, I repent, but you didn't turn away from the thing. See, God is finna unveil the more why it's important that he told us to turn away. We're gonna see that now. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's just like with many of us. If you had a kinfolk that was stealing from you, coming to your house and stealing, and even though he or she kept telling you, oh, I'm sorry for doing it, but they keep stealing, what you think you're going to end up doing? I guarantee you're going to end up telling them, hey, you can't come back to my house. Yeah. Or if they make a move toward your house, you finna start hiding valuable stuff. Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Didn't they tell you they sorry? Well, of course they did, but they didn't stop, did they? They didn't do the full thing. Even though they tell you I'm sorry and they still stealing from you? No, you know yourself. You ain't going to be trusting that no more. If they was on drugs and stealing from them, and they still staying on drugs, you're not going to trust that, you know, for whatever reason, left your wallet or your purse by them, and they on drugs, and you knew they took it, and then they even confessed to you, say, hey, I needed a hit real bad. I'm sorry, I stole the money. Okay, but if you still see them on drugs, are you going to still leave your wallet or purse there? No, you're not, okay? Now, you may be more prone to be a little bit more allowing to sit by when you see that they have worked toward, hey, they're not on drugs no more, they've been staying away, then you may not feel as bad, but then are they still on the drug? No, you're not going to leave your wallet there. You know that. I know that. Why? Because the works weren't shown. Okay? Yeah, they told you I'm sorry and admitted they did wrong. That's good, but the fullness of the thing wasn't done. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? And see, that's the thing that God is getting over to people. And he is showing more and more why it's important. It's very important that when we repent, that we turn away from the thing. Because it still, you know, will bring the judgment, okay? And many times God will warn us when we in it, because judgment can get ready to hit. And if we don't turn from it, then it hits, you know. Amen. And like I said, God had been, he started, and like I said, it'd been around about 3 o'clock, a little after three. And like I said, you know, through some things that had happened, he started dealing with me on that and showing me and dealing with me about that. And like I said, people, you know, you're going to see why God got to be number one in your life, because they're going to be loved ones that you love that just simply won't hear the message, and that judgment going to hit them. So what are you going to do? You're going to be mad at God? You're going to be so distraught? Because we're supposed to love one another. Don't get me wrong. But there have been times where you see where you saw whether you had put that person over God many times, and there was time God had to open your eyes to things. But like I said, in the last day, you're going to see what people where God ranks with them on the scale between them and the loved ones. You're going to see how high that they put their loved ones. You know what I'm saying? That's just like I gave you all an example on one of the broadcasts back here, past broadcasts, how that God had been dealing with me about him being, you know, number one. And one of the examples that he gave me about was like, for example, when a married man, let's say if he approached by another woman to get involved with her, well, see, that'd be adultery. And if he sleep with adultery and fornication, well, that man may say, coming out, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to hurt my wife. Well, that's true. Now, I want you to hear that. That's true. But God dealt with me about how putting him first, that the first thing should be, I'm not going to do that because the Lord said that's wrong and that's sin towards him. Secondly, I won't do it because I hurt my wife. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Because the reason why he dealt with me about that, because if you just say just your wife all the time, what if your wife had just done something wrong to you that made you real mad or really hurt you? Then you'll start thinking, huh, she did so-and-so to me. Why should I be thinking about her? And then you'll up and just do it. But see, if God first, okay, and you put God first, then you can say, hey, you know, God said that's a no-no, and I'm not going to do it. Hallelujah. Because sometimes we can get so mad at loved ones and stuff like that, that stuff will come to you to retaliate, you know. But see, when you start thinking about God, you'll say, okay, no, nah, I'm not going to do that. You see what I'm saying? So this is this message, and like I said, you know, you finna see what is going to happen. You're going to see some even big name, well-known folks who may have came on TV publicly and said, I'm sorry for blah, 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 what I did wrong. But behind the scenes, they haven't stopped that thing. It's going to be manifest. You're going to see it. You're going to see a judgment hit them. And you're going to find out that even though they came before you on TV, and even though they confessed it and said that what I did was wrong, I'm sorry for it, forgive me, behind the scenes, they did not stop. Okay? They didn't stop. And so whether you're doing it in front of the scenes or behind the scenes, judgment, listen, judgment don't know that. Okay, judgment say, I'm going to hit you, whether you've been doing this stuff behind the scenes or in front of the scene, I'm going to hit you. Amen. That's what it says, okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, you know, this message, you know, is very important. And like I said, I can see, you know, within my life personally, there had been some things at one time too that I was saying, Lord, I'm sorry, but let's be honest. In my flesh, I didn't want to stop it or give it up or, you know, putting a halt in it. And I started reaping behind it, okay? And I was like, uh-oh. And even though I used to start off saying, well, Lord, I told you I was sorry, blah, 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 but when it come to me that, hey, you really didn't turn from the thing, then I was like, okay, Lord, have mercy on me. Amen. See, people, we can't forget the turning from the sin. Okay? Yes, you said I'm sorry. Yes, you confessed that you did wrong. That's part of it. Yes, that's what we're supposed to do. However, that is not the fullness of it. Okay? Of course you had a change of mind about it. But it ain't the fullness of it if you don't turn away from it. Now, my advice to you is to your loved ones to give them this message coming from your lips. Now, you can sit there and hold that part off if you want to because, you know, many times we know our loved ones and we know that there's certain things that you say to them they can't take. And so you start thinking to yourself, man, if I tell them they're going to have to stop doing that thing, they're going to quit speaking to me up. They're going to go off the handle. Well, if you value them in that more than anything, then that's you. They're between you and God. But if you don't, when you could have, and that judgment hit them, don't get mad at God. Because remember, he gave you the word to give them, and you wouldn't because you were more concerned about how they felt or going to feel. So don't get mad at God. Don't be talking about God, you, God. And you can forget that. You can cut that out because that ain't going to carry no weight, people. It's not like God going to be up in heaven and start crying because you say, you, God, you know. God going to tell you, say, hey, I told you to tell him, but you wouldn't. You understand that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, just like my brother Kenneth Hagin said that God told him to tell this man about accepting him as Lord. As Brother Hagin went to walk towards him, some other guy came up, and Brother Hagin just let the conversation, you know, Brother Hagin didn't even talk to the man. He just let that other person come up, buddy in and all this, you know, come in and start talking. And Brother Hagin never did tell the man died. I think the man, when they got to talking to the man, they left or something. Brother Hagin didn't get to tell him. The man died. And Brother Hagin said, the Lord pointed at him and said, I hold you responsible. You know, he was, you know, partial in that because he did not deliver the message. Okay? And so, like I said, you know, you can sit there and you can hold a message all you want to. And tell me, no, I'm not going to tell them that now because they won't talk to me no more. They won't just, okay, go right ahead. Go right ahead. But I know that personally people that God have been dealing with me about that, and he had been dealing with me about family. Yes, he wants you to love your family. That's what you got to do. He did not tell you love your family to a point where they're put over his own word. Then now they have become your idol. It ain't about, quote, really just loving now. It's about them being, they become your idol. And God said he is a jealous God. So God ain't going to be sitting on the bench going, well, I guess I just have to settle for second place. That ain't happening. It ain't happening. Praise be to God. Father, I thank you for the blessed word today. I thank you for what you've given me to give to people. And I ask today, that, Lord God, that you would look at me on this hour and bless the seed that I've sown and watered that it may bring forth the increase. I pray for everyone that's listening today, the Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that they would seek you about what they've heard. So, Lord God, I thank you, and I give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord. Thank God for another blessed broadcast. Don't forget, around 34 to 37 minutes, there will be another broadcast, Heart to Heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens, another hour broadcast. Look for the advertisement then. So once again, I thank God for all you've been listening. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. May God bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.